The Holy Gospel is according to John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the promise of Jesus, that in him is life, and life that exceeds all expectations. I got a text on Thursday morning saying that Don had died early that morning at the age of 99. Now, if ever there was someone who had abundant life in Christ, it was Don. Now, I've known his two sons and their families for almost 20 years now, but it was only in the last 3 years or so that I got to know Don. And they're a more thoughtful, faithful, or inquisitive man you will not find. Don went from working on the Manhattan Project in World War II to teaching at Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa. He and his wife Bernice responded to the call of the church to go to Tanzania, start a school there, and then eventually returned to Iowa State University and, after retirement, came to Ely, Iowa. Now, Don was always reading or having read to him scripture or devotional books. When you'd go into his room, you'd find them kind of scattered all over the room. And he reflected deeply on these readings, and it affected how he lived out his life of faith. He told me that his saying yes to the call of the church to go to Tanzania and start the school was at least partially in response to the gifts and privileges that his family had experienced, especially the successful surgery on his younger daughter. You walked into Don's room at the retirement community, and right as you got in the door, there was a picture of him with his extended family. He had a steady stream of visitors, often those who would read with him. He and his son Dan had been reading through biographies of the presidents. They were somewhere past Grant by this point, I think. Don was a rich man, rich in family, rich in faith, rich in sharing with others. His life was abundant. His cup overflowing. And I've seen this same life in so many others over the years. My Nana, my mother's mother, another long-lived person of deep faith, loving family and friendship and abiding trust in God's presence. Ed, from my years growing up at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Bob, Verna, so many others that I could name. And each of them had things in common. the same things that a reading from Acts points to today. The things that those 3,000 newly baptized members of the church, remember that from last week? Those who were called by the Holy Spirit through Peter's sermon. These 3,000 members of the baptized members of the church and their fellow believers were known for the same things that these others I have named were known for: a devotion, a steadfast adherence, habit, practice of being in Scripture, of sharing deep community with one another, of worship and prayer, a trust in the provision of God, such that they were willing and to give generously of what they had to others in need. And also, in devoting themselves to such things, they gained the goodwill of all those around them. They were able to do things that were awesome and wonderful to their neighbors. They had life filled to overflowing. They had the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. And through the witness of their lives lived this way, the Holy Spirit drew many into the faith. Let me be clear. The lives of these faithful were not without pain. They were not without sorrow and doubt. They were not without challenge. Each of them walked through their own dark valleys, some longer and darker than others. But the abundance in their life came from the fact that they knew in Jesus that they had a shepherd who walked with them, whose rod would protect their lives from all who would seek it, that whose staff would guide them along the tricky pathways of life. They knew that in Jesus they had a shepherd who had traveled this dark valley of death and had come back out again, who knew the way in all the pitfalls. "I came," Jesus said, "so that you may have life and have it abundantly." That gift of new life is freely given to you. It is not earned. It is not bought. It is freely given. But it is one whose fullness is found through dwelling in those things named in Acts. It is as we devote ourselves to reading, to hearing, reflecting on Scripture, that we deepen our understanding of who God is and how God works in the world. It's in knowing these stories deep in our hearts that we can truly, that can truly sustain us even in the darkest valley. It's in knowing these stories deep in our hearts that we can see where others misuse and abuse them. And it's in knowing these stories and in having conversation with other believers that we are given a roadmap so that we will not be led astray. It's as we devote ourselves to a fellowship that is deeper than coffee and donuts. And don't get me wrong, I like coffee and donuts. But it's in that deeper fellowship that we can really enter into these abundant relationships with others. Ones that mean we show up at your door when you get sick. That we treat your kids as ours. It means that what I have is yours if you need it. One that's so generous, it worries more about what others need than what I need. And like all good things, it is only with practice that we get closer to perfection. Now, the reality is that human sinfulness comes into play here. In just a few chapters, we'll see that not even this Acts community is immune from these problems, from the selfishness and infighting that can occur when broken people gather together, even faithful people. But that's why there's grace and forgiveness, yeah? And for all the shortcomings that our community can have, I think we can all agree it feels so much better, so much healthier to live in a community of people where you can share openly about your own pain and shortcomings without judgment. Where everyone practices the eighth commandment, looking at what others do in the best possible way, where you know that you are cared for, we have a clear understanding of God's provision for you, so that you are willing to share of yourself and your possessions with others, especially those in need. It's as we devote ourselves to prayer without ceasing. Prayer that involves listening as well as speaking, that we become more adept at seeing God's presence in the world, that we can discern the movement of the Spirit around us, that we can better hear God's voice and guidance in our lives. Prayer is such an important part of all those lives of faith that I have seen. Prayer deepens our faith. It is an assurance of the presence of God. And you can see this emphasis on prayer in the book of Acts. Prayer, or one of the associated words, prayed, pray, appears more than twice as many times in Acts as anywhere else in the New Testament. The disciples were praying all the time in that book. Before making big decisions, they prayed for personal guidance. They prayed to say thank you. They prayed to say help. They prayed devotedly, with steadfast adherence, making it a practice, a habit, woven deeply into the fabric of their lives. And it is in and through these practices that we can better learn the sound of the voice of our shepherd. So that in the midst of the voices that all clamor for us to come and follow them, we might recognize the sound of Jesus and focus in on him, follow him into that abundant life, filled to overflowing. And I think we can all relate to how this works, right? How many of you parents have ever been able to pick out the voice of your child, even in a playground filled with other children screaming and shouting? Huh? It's because you know your sheep, right? Or as children, being able to hear the distant voice calling you and knowing right away, oh, that's Mom. Now, I was a bit older, but I do remember very vividly being in summer stock, summer theater, and totally forgetting my parents were coming to the play that night, until when I was out on stage, there was a laugh line, the whole audience laughed, and I heard my mother's laugh and knew exactly where she was sitting, right over there. We're able to do these things, to pick out the voices of loved ones from the cacophony, because we spent time with them. We know the pitch and timbre of the voice, their cadence and accent, because they become ingrained on our hearts through repetition, by just being present with them, because it's the voice of someone we know who loves us, and because we love them. As we devote ourselves to the Word of God, to deep community with one another, to prayer, to generosity towards all those who are in need, we do the same thing. We become even more familiar with the voice of our Savior, more able to pick it out of the cacophony of all that demands our attention, to hear it calling us even through the white noise of fear and uncertainty that tries to curve us in on ourselves. When I think of Don and Ed, when I think of Nana and Verna and Bob, so many others, I want what they had. Even as I know, each of us have a unique relationship with God. It all looks different, but I want that. And so I strive each day to devote myself more fully to the reading of Scripture, to a deeper fellowship, to prayer and worship, to abundant care for others. And some days I do better than others.
But then there are moments
like these, when the whole world is turned upside down, and I find that I can hear the voice of the shepherd more easily. And I find that I can be calmer, even in the midst of stormy waters. I pray each time before I preach that you will hear the voice of the shepherd in the words that I speak. The call of the one who loves you beyond all others, Jesus. I pray that each of you will have the Holy Spirit stir in your lives in the same way that those first disciples had the Spirit stir in theirs, stir you to do awesome wonders and signs in the name of Jesus, I pray. That you would do things like risk loving your neighbor and your enemy, things like feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, healing the sick. And I pray that each of you would have life abundantly, filled to overflowing, beyond all expectation, rich. Rich in friends, rich in family, rich in faith. And so in the midst of all these new habits that we're forming these days, I'd invite you to explore maybe adding one more. Or maybe expanding a habit you already have. One would be to join our confirmands and what I ask of them. And over the course of a week, read a chapter of Scripture, or even part of a chapter. You could break it down into chunks a little bit each day. 10 minutes. Set a timer, because you don't want to overdo it, right? And read it. And then if you feel, email me about what you've read. Questions, observations. These are some of the best interactions I have with these confirmands. I love getting those emails from. I'd invite you to expand your prayer life. During Lent, we talked about the ways in which we can grow in gratitude in our giving thanks. So maybe you take 5 minutes, the beginning of the day, end of the day, set a timer. You don't want to overdo it. And give thanks to God for all the things that are to come in the day, or maybe the things that you have received. And I invite you to do these things, not to make yourself more acceptable to God. God has already claimed you and finds you wonderfully made. But I invite you, because of the witness of Scripture and of all those other faithful people that I have encountered in my life, that in doing these things, you might better be able to hear the voice of our shepherd and to follow him wherever he goes. Amen. And now I invite you to stand as we sing the hymn to our shepherd.